5 years. I realized last Tuesday on March the 12th that it has been 5 years since I published my last novel, The Dragon Protector. A lot's happened in those 5 years. I've switched jobs twice, effectively tripling my salary, which has been nice. I've traveled to fun places like Australia and New Zealand and Chile, and the two sisters that I live with and I have adopted 4 kids. But what I have not done is make much progress on the finale of the Dragonstalker Bloodline saga, The Dragon Destroyer. I've been stuck at the starting line, and now I'm ready to write again. But the entire writing and publishing landscape has changed. AI is transforming how we get work done. And if we as writers don't learn how to use AI effectively and ethically, we're going to get left behind. I don't want to be left behind. I don't want you to be left behind. So I've been on a mission to learn about AI, what it is, how to use it to learn, to generate better ideas, to think better, to uplevel me so that I can write better plots, better characters, better worlds, better stories. And I'm going to take you on this adventure with me, which is why I've changed the name of the show to The Adventurous Author. Using AI, we can get a great foundation for our stories, write faster, write better, not have AI do the writing for us, but we're going to learn how to write better, write faster, so that we, even in our limited time that we have to write, we can get more done, get better stories written, and have time to live adventurously. I'll tell you more about it on Monday. Right now, let's get to chapter 43 of The Dragon Collector. Javen has a bit of a problem with cockiness in this chapter, and it costs him big time. Listen in to find out what I mean. It's Fantasy Fiction Friday! That means it's time for an escape break with author DK Drake. This is the part of the show where your host, author DK Drake, reads you a snippet of one of her stories. So if you're intrigued by a world where dragons exist and people live for hundreds of years, stay tuned for a show designed for sheer entertainment purposes. Still here? Fantastic! Prepare for adventure, for you are now entering the land of Xandador. Chapter 43, A Sticky Situation. Bacon? Was he really smelling bacon? Javen sat up and rubbed his eyes in the cave he and Hamilton had claimed as a camping spot the night before. The door to the cave was a sheet of water that sounded like it was whistling as it cascaded down from a cliff 100 feet above them and dropped into a pool of clear water 200 feet below them. The soothing sound of the cascading water had lulled him to sleep last night, in spite of the underlying whistling notes the water played. Now the smell of bacon sparked his senses and woke him up. A small campfire was burning about 30 feet away from him near the entrance. Holding a black pan above the fire was a young woman with striking blue eyes and light brown hair that spilled past her tiny waist. She looked somewhat familiar, but Javen couldn't place where they might have met before. As for Hamilton, he was nowhere to be seen. Hello? He latched his hand around the handle of one of his stalker swords just in case he needed it. Who are you? And where is Hamilton? You're awake. A smile stretched across her face, and Javen felt his heart do a strange sort of somersault. This girl was pretty. Yeah. Javen coughed to clear his throat. He wasn't used to speaking to pretty girls. You, didn't, answer my, questions. Why couldn't he talk without using the word 3 million times? Sorry. This time she laughed. Now she was even more attractive. If she kept this up, he wasn't going to be able to utter any comprehensible words. Hamilton's out scouting for dragons. He'll be back soon. Oh, okay. Javen rolled his eyes. He was such a brilliant conversationalist. We've met before. She pulled the pan away from the fire and placed it on the ground. As she divvied up the meat she had been cooking onto 3 separate plates already filled with berries and bread, she said, We met in Gree. I brought you your lunch. That's where I know you from. My grandmother called you... Javen snapped his fingers several times while trying to recall her name. The snapping didn't help. Gesha. Right! Gesha! I'm Javen. I know. Right. So, how did you know I was here? The UCN. The what? The Underground Communication Network. Astra sent a message. He told us where you were and what you needed. I volunteered to bring the supplies. She shrugged. And me. You needed someone to hunt and cook for you while you do your dragon collecting thing. Right! Goodness, did he really say right again? He mentally slapped himself for his verbal ineptitude. Well, thanks for coming. Sure. Keeping her eyes averted, She delivered a plate to Javen and returned it to her spot by the fire. I hope you like Kiko meat. It was the best I could do on such short notice. It, smells good. Kiko meat? What kind of animal was a Kiko? He would sound like an idiot if he asked. So he didn't ask. Instead, he took a bite. Much to his relief, it did taste similar to bacon. Only a touch tougher. Tasty. Glad you like it. She blushed and popped a handful of berries in her mouth. He was mesmerized by the way she chewed. She tilted her head slightly to the side, closed her eyes, and barely moved her jaw. She might have noticed him staring, too, if Hamilton hadn't burst into the cave the second she opened her eyes to reach for another bite. Morning! Hamilton scooted in from the narrow ledge that separated the waterfall from the rock wall. Gesha, something smells delicious. You got a plate for me?
Yes, sir.
She handed him a plate, and he walked over to sit beside Javen. He stuffed his mouth full of both meat and berries, but didn't let that stop him from talking.
Eat quick, kid. I found the perfect place for you to hang out and wait for a dragon to stroll by, jump on, and ride.
That's the plan? I just wait for a dragon to come to me?
Yep.
What if no dragons happen to stroll by?
One will if I do my job right.
Hamilton stuffed another round of food in his mouth as though he were a starved barbarian.
Just trust me.
Javen took a civilized bite of his own food and swallowed it before asking,
Trust you to do what?
Herd a dragon to you.
Herd me a dragon? How are you going to do that?
Easy! Dawnstalkers are scared of insects. I've been out catching those annoying little creatures. I'll use them to get the dragon to go where I want him to go. Straight to where you're hiding.
Really? That's going to work?
You have a better idea, kid?
Javen shook his head.
Nope. Then finish your food and strap on your stalker swords.
Hamilton slapped Javen on the back.
It's time to collect you a Dawnstalker.
Javen wiped the sweat from his eyes for the umpteenth time. The ritual sweat wiping was the only action he had taken all day as he sat perched high above the ground in the tree Hamilton had picked out for him. It was a cool tree to climb and sit in. It looked like a weeping willow, except the leaves were 10 times as big, the branches were 5 times as thick, and the trunk grew 2 times as tall as any weeping willow he had ever seen. The large, drooping leaves camouflaged him perfectly while the sturdy branches made sitting comfortable and safe. The only problem was that he was stuck in one spot and had been for a good 8 hours or so. His legs had fallen asleep, his back was getting sore, and he had long ago finished the nuts, fruit, and beef jerky Gesha had given him to snack on. He did have a fantastic view of the whistling waterfall to his right. He couldn't hear the whistling from where he was, but he could certainly enjoy the sight of the sheet of water as wide as an 8-lane highway spilling over the edge of the cliff, rushing past the labyrinth of caves and dropping into the peaceful lake below. Waist-high shrubs and knee-high grass filled the distance between him and the water. Trees like the one Javen sat in covered the land as far as he could see when he looked to his left. The terrain on the other side of the waterfall was completely different. It was marked by a series of rocky, moss-covered hills, streams, and mini waterfalls. As he drank the last of his water, he found himself wondering if any of those waterfalls hid caves as well.
How do they keep finding me?
The high-pitched, fear-filled thoughts of the snow-white dragon startled Javen. It appeared out of nowhere and was just past jumping range for Javen. The dragon shivered and looked around.
I think I finally escaped those vicious little creatures!
Javen wasn't sure how Hamilton had managed to get the dragon to teleport to this exact spot, but he was sure he would take advantage of the situation. As quietly as he could, he retrieved a stun ball from his belt and moved himself into a squatting position on the branch he had been sitting on. The dragon began strutting toward the water. He couldn't allow her to walk out of throwing range, so he moved some leaves from a branch above him out of his way with his left arm, cocked his right arm, and sent the stun ball spiraling toward the unsuspecting Dawnstalker. The claws of the stun ball lodged into the base of the dragon's long neck, rendering the dragon immobile.
Yes!
Javen shouted. Gotcha! He worked his way down the tree, marveling how easy collecting his first dragon was going to be. He didn't need a week or a month. All he needed was a day. He couldn't wait to see the look on King Omri's face when Javen rode into town on this beautiful dragon. Did she already have a name? Should he rename her even if she did? Was that proper collection etiquette? If so, what should he call her? Was there a book of dragon names he could rent from some library somewhere in Xandador? Did they have libraries in Xandador? Growing impatient with his tedious climb down, Javen decided the puffy green bushes at the base of the tree would be soft enough to break his fall. So from about 20 feet up, he let go and launched himself butt first into the bushes below. They were soft. They did absorb his fall. But Javen didn't realize until it was too late that he had willingly thrown himself into a patch of sticky bushes Aster had warned him about just last week. The leaves on these particular bushes secreted some sort of tacky substance that was so strong that people used it in place of nails when building things like furniture or houses. Now he was stuck, glued in place from his neck to his heels. While he fought to free himself, he heard the stun ball on the dragon's neck drop to the ground. That clunk was followed by the sound of the dragon galloping away.
He let out a defeated, frustrated sigh and tried not to consider the possibility that he might have just ruined his one and only opportunity to collect a dragon. If you enjoyed today's Escape Break episode but don't want to wait to find out what happens next, click on over to authordkdrake.com. There you can become a DK Drake Insider, secure your free starter library, and access all the books from the Dragonstalker Bloodline saga that are available for sale on Amazon. In the meantime, I dare you not to dream of dragons tonight.